राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। सो श्री प्रभुपाद हैज बीन स्पीकिंग अबाउट हाउ इम्पॉर्टेंट इट इज फॉर अस टू ऑलवेज रिमेंबर हिम, एंड इफ यू प्रैक्टिस डूइंग दिस थ्रू आउट आवर लाइफ देन इट विल बी पॉसिबल फॉर अस टू रिमेंबर हिम एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ, एंड इफ वी कैन रिमेंबर हिम एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ देन we can be transferred to the spiritual world for an eternal life of bliss in the personal association of the Lord. And he also points out that Krishna had instructed Arjuna that he should always remember him, and at the same time he should continue fighting because that was his duty as a Kshatriya. So Srila Prabhupada explains that one should continue one's struggle in material existence and at the same time try to remember Krishna. And if one does not want to do that, if one cannot try to remember Krishna even in the midst of one's day-to-day struggles, then one will never be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. And to conclude, he says that the instruction of Krishna to always remember him and the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to always chant the names of Krishna are one and the same. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also come to teach us how to remember Krishna by the process of chanting. So how we can try to remember Krishna all the time, even in the midst of our responsibilities in this world, is explained now by Srila Prabhupada in the paragraph that we are going to begin today. That's the last paragraph on page 28. Quote, how is this possible? The acharyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of her lover is always thinking of meeting him, even while she is carrying out her household chores. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully, so her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, we should always remember the Supreme Lover, Sri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. A strong sense of love is required here. If we have a strong sense of love for the Supreme Lord, then we can discharge our duty and at the same time remember Him. But we have to develop that sense of love. Unquote. So this is a rather unusual example. Many times the acharyas give examples from day-to-day life, and sometimes they even give examples of immoral conduct or of things that may not be exactly what people think should be mentioned in spiritual literatures, but because these things are excellent ways to illustrate points, and because the things in this world are ultimately perverted reflections of what's happening in the spiritual world, so we can understand in this light. The example of a married woman thinking of her paramour and being very careful to perform her household duties is very illustrative, because she is extremely careful to see that nobody will suspect, that she should not be accused of negligence. If somebody is negligent in performing his or her duties, then someone may criticize and some other motive may be attributed to that negligence. But if one is very carefully executing one's duties, then nobody suspects. This predicament often happens to devotees when they first come to Krishna consciousness. Many times students ask this question. Since there are several students here, we can address this point. When one first takes to Krishna consciousness and one has one's academic duties to perform, then because one experiences a thrill of Krishna consciousness and one develops a sudden sense of renunciation, and one also feels the futility of studying this material knowledge, one tends to neglect one's studies, one's academics, in the course of the university or school or whatever, with the result that the grades fall, the negligence is highly visible, and then everybody criticizes. Just see, because you've taken to Krishna consciousness, this is what happens. Then the authorities in the university get informed and they say, this is not good. And then the devotees coming to the institution are stopped from coming, or they are not encouraged. Many times this is our experience in India. So it is very important that in order that one's Krishna consciousness may progress smoothly, and also that the preaching activities may go on smoothly, it is necessary to follow the example given here by Srila Prabhupada, that one should perform one's material duties very strictly and at the same time try to remember Krishna. It's not that in the thrill of remembering Krishna we should give up our material duties. That causes confusion in this world. If everybody artificially tries to give up material duties, that would cause a very unnatural situation in the world. We see, to continue this example in a literal way, the gopis of Vrindavan. They were married, so to speak. They went through the motions of the rituals of marriage, but that is all a pastime, of course. But their hearts and minds were all with Krishna. And it came to an extreme position when, on the night, the full moon night of Sharad, the month of Sharad, the season of Sharad, Krishna was playing the flute standing on the banks of the Yamuna under the Vanshivat tree. And all the gopis became extremely attracted by that flute song. And they all gave up their respective duties and rushed to where Krishna was playing his flute. Shukadeva Goswami explains that they were all engaged in different duties. Some were cooking in the kitchen and had only half finished the cooking. Some were feeding their children, they had not completed that. Some were in a stage of doing some other household duty that was not yet over. Some were sitting and chatting with the family members. They were all in different stages of activity, and whatever they were doing, they immediately gave it up and rushed out, much to the anger and bewilderment of the family members. They did not care that once they left, they would not be accepted back. Or even if they were accepted back, there would be very severe reprimand and difficulty. They were so attracted by Krishna's sound that they simply left. Some of the gopis, Shukadeva Goswami explains, became so bewildered and charmed by that flute song, they did not even know what they were doing. They wore their clothes upside down, topside down, upside, everything was topsy-turvy. Some of the gopis who were prohibited forcibly from leaving their homes to join Krishna, they actually left their bodies, but the acharyas explained that they gave up their subtle body, whatever little traces of contamination were there, for these sadhana siddha gopis who were not nitya siddhas, who had not come from the spiritual world to accompany Krishna, they were purified because of this intense hankering for being with Krishna and being unable to do so. So they were completely purified and they actually perfected their lives. Elsewhere also we see Shukadeva Goswami describing that when Krishna would go out into the forest to graze the cows, then all the gopis in Vrindavan, even though engaged in their various household activities, would perform their duties very nicely, but would always think of Krishna in the process of doing that. For example, when they were churning the butter, then they would sit together and recite poems about Krishna. It is explained that there were professional poets in Braj in those days also, who, depending on the particular pastimes performed by Krishna on a particular day, would compose poetry or songs and they would recite it, and then the gopis would also recite those songs. So in this way, even as they were doing their household activities, they would remember Krishna all the time. So also for all of us in life, this is Srila Prabhupada's and indeed Krishna's instruction, that whatever we do, we should always do it with remembrance of Krishna. It's not that to remember Krishna we have to give up other activities and just try to sit down in one place and remember Krishna. That may not be possible. On the contrary, our mind may travel to so many different places except Krishna. So it is better to be properly engaged and active and use our senses in Krishna's service and at the same time try to remember Him. So let's continue further. Arjuna, for instance, was always thinking of Krishna. He was the constant companion of Krishna and at the same time he was a warrior. Krishna did not advise him to give up fighting and go to the forest to meditate. When Lord Krishna delineates the yoga system to Arjuna, Arjuna says that the practice of this system is not possible for him. Arjuna uvacha: Yoyam yogastvaya proktaha samyena madhusudana etasyaham na pashyami chanchalatvat sthitim sthiram. Arjuna said, O Madhusudana, the system of yoga which you have summarized appears impractical and unendurable to me, for the mind is restless and unsteady. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text 33. But the Lord says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmanam shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamo matah. Of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me thinks of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Text 47. So one who thinks of the Supreme Lord always is the greatest yogi, the supermost jnani, and the greatest devotee at the same time. Unquote. So now Srila Prabhupada has come to the topic of yoga and how yoga is not really what people commonly say it is. If you speak the word yoga to any common person outside, what would they think? Immediately they have visions of somebody sitting in the lotus posture with the thumb and the forefinger touching, eyes closed, with the back erect, and probably trying to meditate on something. Or they would probably imagine some yogi with matted locks of hair in the Himalayas performing severe austerities. But what is yoga really? Yoga is a process of linking with the Supreme Lord. The process of linking is one of devotion, because the essential relationship between the soul with Krishna is one of love. Therefore, the process of yoga is designed to develop the dormant love that the living entity has for Krishna. Therefore, there is no question of yoga unless the senses and mind are controlled, because they have to be focused exclusively on Krishna. There is no question of sense gratification and yoga going on together, as is the practice with many so-called yoga teachers in the modern day, who sell yogic mantras or advocate practice of yoga and so on for a price, or who do not emphasize the need for following four regulative principles, who say it is all right, you may do anything you like, but just do this. So yoga is a very serious process, and the goal ultimately is devotion. So one who already directly takes to the path of devotion to the Supreme Lord is actually considered the topmost yogi, because he has already achieved the goal of the other yogis. So Prabhupada explains here that a devotee of the Lord is the topmost yogi, the topmost jnani. Yoginam api sarvesham mat gatena antaratmana. Because such a devotee is constantly thinking about him. Shraddhavan bhajate yah maam. With great faith he is worshipping me. Samay yukta tamo matah. So he is the best amongst all. So here is Krishna's definition of a yogi. Later on, and also of course, in that very chapter he explains the process of Ashtanga Yoga. But what is the culmination, the perfection? It is to always think of Krishna with love. That is the perfection of yoga. So let's continue. The Lord further tells Arjuna that as a Kshatriya, he cannot give up his fighting. But if Arjuna fights remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. But one must be completely surrendered in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Unquote. In other words, one has a far greater chance of success in spiritual life by being active than by being passive. Better to be active and serve the Lord as much as we can, in every way we can, using all our senses, than to be idle. Idleness will never achieve success for the performer, either in material life or in spiritual life. So Prabhupada mentions here that if Arjuna fights remembering Krishna, then he will be able to remember Krishna at death. Because Arjuna has his nature as a Kshatriya. His Kshatriya nature will force him to move in that direction. So our nature, our propensity has to be dovetailed in the service of Krishna. Next para. We work not with our body actually, but with our mind and intelligence. So, if the intelligence and the mind are always engaged in the thought of the Supreme Lord, then naturally the senses are also engaged in His service. Superficially at least, the activities of the senses remain the same, but the consciousness is changed. The Bhagavad Gita teaches one how to absorb the mind and intelligence in the thoughts of the Lord. Such absorption will enable one to transfer himself to the kingdom of the Lord. If the mind is engaged in Krishna's service, then the senses are automatically engaged in his service. This is the art, and this is also the secret of Bhagavad Gita. Total absorption in the thought of Sri Krishna. Unquote. That's the sum and substance of life, sum and substance of spiritual life. That's the last line of this paragraph. Total absorption in the thought of Krishna. Now, for those who have been following the trend of thought of Srila Prabhupada as he has been speaking in the last several pages, we will note that in the last 7 pages practically, starting from page 24, he has one theme that he has been talking about. What is that? Yes. Focusing our mind on Krishna, thinking of Krishna, remembering Krishna. That has been the topic for the last 7 pages. And now Srila Prabhupada continues with this theme here. And he says ultimately, he uses some very appropriate language, total absorption in the thought of Krishna. When you use the word absorbed, then it doesn't leave much scope for anything else. When you're absorbed in the thought of Krishna, there is no other thought that can come in. And such absorption is the only way to keep Maya away. You give Maya even a little space, she will enter and create havoc. Maya first tries to enter in, knocks the door. We open a little bit and we entertain and have some conversation. She puts a foot into the door and then talks a little more. And then probably after becoming a little friendlier, we open the door a little bit so she has a hand inside now. And before we know it, Maya is into our door, into our life. So one has to be very cautious not to entertain Maya when she knocks at the door of our minds, in our hearts. And immediately we have to shut the door on her. We shouldn't mind being rude in some cases. Because ultimately, we are doing this to protect ourselves. So it is very important that to the extent we are lax in activities that help us to remember Krishna, to that extent our mind will not be absorbed in Krishna. And to the extent our mind is not absorbed in Krishna, we are leaving our defenses open for Maya to enter. Spiritual life is something like a battle. Prabhupada often said, Krishna consciousness is like a battle against Maya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur preferred to leave his body in Calcutta rather than in Mayapur or in Vrindavan. Because he said, I would rather die in the battlefield. So why the battlefield? Because that was the ground for preaching. Mayapur is a place where you relish your own personal sadhana and your bhajan. But Calcutta is a place where you stay for preaching. There's a lot of preaching to be done there. So therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also taught a second message by his example. That for a devotee, it doesn't matter where one leaves the body. Whether Vrindavan or Calcutta or Los Angeles or anywhere. If we leave our body remembering Krishna, our life is successful. But, as Srila Prabhupada cautions, we have to be absorbed. Absorbed in Krishna means that nothing else has place in our heart. To the extent that something other than Krishna is given place within our hearts, to that extent, our Krishna consciousness will be compromised. So how does one work towards developing such an absorption, such an intense state of mind? We can see such absorption in Maya, in the people of this world. Focus, absolutely focused on what they are doing. Can you give examples of how there is complete absorption in Maya, in some people in this world? Any examples? Yes. A sportsman is completely absorbed, otherwise he cannot play the game. Yes. Politicians, what are they absorbed in? Whatever they are absorbed in, they are absorbed in. Yes. A businessman is absorbed in making money. No time for anything else. Money is honey, so they find it very sweet, so they are completely absorbed. In the mundane relationships of this world, we find that people are absorbed in their own relationships, obsessed. So that absorption has to be simply transferred, that is all. So how does one move towards the state of absorption? Prabhupada is going to talk about that in the paragraph, next paragraph. So let's talk about this. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyamatma Nivedanam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one, upon leaving the body, to attain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. Unquote. So here is the answer. What is the answer? How does one attain the state of complete absorption in Krishna? One word. Yes? Hearing. Shravanam. That is the most important activity for a devotee. Everything depends on Shravanam. Because whatever we hear, we remember about, we think about. And whatever we think about, we talk about. So Shravanam leads to Smaranam, Smaranam leads to Kirtanam, Kirtanam leads to more Shravanam and Smaranam, and the cycle goes on. So the most important organ or the part of the human body is the ear. So therefore Krishna has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. So we can hear at least twice as much as we speak. And the more we hear about Krishna, the more we will be able to remember him. It's very simple. It is also an unfortunate fact that many, many devotees do not read Prabhupada's books, or they do not hear Krishna Katha sufficiently. It's a fact. One cannot make one's life successful, even if one is in Vrindavan, unless one takes to this process of hearing very carefully. I used to know a deaf devotee, deaf and dumb devotee. He was a brahmachari. And he couldn't speak Hare Krishna properly because he didn't know whether he was speaking right or not. But he would chant something. It was resembling Hare Krishna, but he was making some mumbling sounds. And he couldn't hear even. But he was trying to hear within the mind. And he was initiated, regular devotee, following the regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds, initiated everything. And he made a whole association called the Hare Krishna Association for the Welfare of the Deaf. And all the devotees in that group were all deaf and dumb. And they would communicate, and he would give them lectures by sign language, because they communicate with a certain sign language. They can understand, they can speak quite fast. Once you become expert in that language, you can really communicate quickly. So they would sit and he would give them class and speak in their language, with the sign language. And in this way, there was a whole flourishing group of deaf and dumb devotees. And we so-called normal devotees would sometimes feel that probably they were making faster advancement than us. Because even though they couldn't hear, the very fact that they really were intensely desiring to hear, and they were making the effort of chanting and hearing and remembering and reading and being in the association of devotees, made them get all the benefit. Ultimately, the soul was hearing. It's not only a question about the physical ear hearing. There are three levels of senses that we have. One is the gross senses of the gross body, the ear, the nose, which you can touch and feel. The second are the senses of the subtle body. When we die, the gross body gets left behind. The gross ear, the gross nose, the gross tongue remain in the body. But the subtle body continues. The subtle body has its own senses. Actually, it is a subtle body that perceives through the gross body. And even the subtle body is not the ultimate, because the ultimate perceiver, as far as the living entity is concerned, is the soul. And the soul has his senses, which are non-different from himself. And the ultimate experiencer of everything is the Supreme Lord, who has his senses also. So even if one is physically, if the gross body is unable to hear or unable to speak, it doesn't matter. If we are sincere, these handicaps will not come in the way of our attaining perfection. On the other hand, one may have perfect physical vision, perfect hearing, everything else, but if one is not interested in Krishna consciousness, then what is the use? Shukadev Goswami many times refers to these things in the Srimad Bhagavatam when he says that those eyes that do not see the form of the Lord are like the eyes in a peacock feather. Those ears that do not hear about Krishna are like what? Snake holes. And in this way, he said, the head that does not bow down before Krishna, what about that? It's just a burden, painful burden for the neck. And so on. And Shukadev Goswami goes on to describe in great detail how, if the senses are not used for Krishna's service, then they are actually useless. There are many nice verses like this. If you go on, then we will not be able to finish our introduction. but it's a very interesting topic. So the important thing is that we should be very, very keenly desirous of doing it. And we should make serious attempts to study the books, because studying is also a form of hearing. Prabhupada is speaking in print form, and we are hearing with our eyes. Both are required. Both have their own merits. Physically coming to a class and sitting down and hearing patiently, tolerating it sometimes if we get bored or feel sleepy, is an important process because of the vibration that takes place when all devotees gather together at one place. So that atmosphere has its impact. The physical vibrations in the place as the Krishna Katha is going on, it has its effect on the consciousness. Of course, if one cannot come, then at least one can hear on the radio. We have that facility here. But if possible, one should try to physically come, because that is better. The atmosphere cannot be substituted. And if it is not possible for us to come all the time, of course, because one cannot hear all the time, one can read. Or one can hear. Nowadays you have so much technology, CDs and iPods and audio cassettes and so many things which we can hear. And reading has its own value. Both reading and hearing are necessary. They complement each other. It's not that one is a substitute for the other. Many times people say, I'm reading, so there's no need for me to come to class. Or they say, I'm coming to class, so I don't need to read. But we need to do both, to the extent that is possible in our life. And then we will be able to move towards this ultimate perfectional stage of absorption of the mind in Krishna. In the Nectar of Instruction, in the 9th verse, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Tannama Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishthan Vraje Tad Anuragi Jananugami Kalam Naye Dakhilamityupadesha Saram. It's a very important verse. The last two words of this verse are Upadesha Saram. What is the meaning of Upadesh? Instruction. Saram, essence. So Rupa Goswami says, the essence of all instruction, of all good instruction, is Kalam Nayed Akhila. Nayed means to utilize. Kalam means time. Akhila means everything, all one's time. The essence of all good instruction is that we should use all our time, 24 hours a day, for what? Tan Nama. Tan means Him, because he has referred to Krishna in the previous verse. Tan Nama Rupa Charita Adi, Krishna's name, form, pastimes, character, etc. Tan Nama Rupa Charita Adi Sukirtananu Smrityoho Kramena. Sukirtananu, that means nicely chanting, nicely speaking about Krishna's pastimes, his glorifying his form, chanting his names and so on. And simultaneously, smrityoho, to remember him. So one should constantly chant about and remember Krishna's name, form, pastimes, instructions, etc. Kramena rasana manasi niyojya. In this way, step by step, one should engage rasana, the tongue, and manasi, the mind. These are our two most difficult organs to control, senses. The tongue and the mind. Of the gross senses, it's the tongue. If the tongue is actually controlled, the tongue is responsible for speaking and tasting. If we can control these two urges of the tongue, then we can control the belly. And by controlling the belly, we can control the genitals, and we control all the other senses. So therefore Rupa Goswami says, Kramena Rasana Manasi Niyojya. That by this process of constantly, all the time, talking about and remembering the holy name, the form of the, talking about the form of the Lord, his pastimes and so on, one can actually engage the mind and the tongue. This is the essence of all instruction. And then he says, Tishthan Vraje Tad Anuragi Jananugami. Tishthan Vraje, one should stay in Vraj, in Vrindavan. Tad Anuragi Jana Anugami. One should follow in the footsteps of one of the residents of Vraj. Anu in this case means following in the footsteps. Anugami means to go behind, to follow the footsteps. Anuragi, one who is a great lover of Krishna. So this is the essence of all good instruction. By hearing, by chanting, by remembering. And unless we don't hear and chant, we can't remember. So everything begins with hearing. In the purport, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there are four different stages to reach perfection. The first one is called Shravan Dasha. Dasha means a state or condition or a platform. The Shravan Dasha is when one begins to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. As one hears regularly, one begins to develop some interest, some taste, some attachment for the hearing process. One likes to do it more and more. And then one is said to have reached the Varana Dasha. Varana Dasha means the stage of acceptance or of having strong attachment to hearing about Krishna. And gradually, as one continues to hear, one arrives at the stage that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says is Smarana Dasha. Smaran means to remember, the state of remembrance. But even in this state, there are five sub-states, Bhaktisiddhanta says. In the first state, our remembrance is interrupted. We remember for some time and then forget. Again, remember briefly and then forget. So that's the first stage of Smarana Dasha. The second stage is when the remembrance of Krishna is not so interrupted. We can remember for longer periods. The third stage is when now we can constantly remember Krishna. When our remembrance is concentrated. The next stage is called Anusmriti, in which this remembrance of Krishna expands and becomes constant. And the final stage of the Smarana Dasha is the stage of spiritual trance, Samadhi, when we are always thinking of Krishna, 24 hours a day. At this stage, one has achieved the perfection of the Smarana Dasha. But this is only the third stage. And when one continues cultivating constant remembrance of Krishna in trance, one reaches a stage that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says is called Sampatti Dasha. At this point, one knows, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati says, in this purport, what one's constitutional position is in the spiritual world. Who is one in Krishna Loka or in Vaikuntha? That is revealed to us. It is not a cheap artificial process that somebody just comes in out from the material world and goes straight in, and somebody just says you are such and such in the spiritual world. No. It comes at a very advanced stage. That is a stage of Swarup Siddhi. So we can see the gradual development process from the Shravana Dasha to the Sampatti Dasha. the foundation is hearing. The more we hear, the more we read, the more we chant, while being engaged in our duties and responsibilities in the service of Krishna, the more easily we will be able to advance through these different stages. So for further information, and in case you forget these different stages now, you can read Nectar of Instruction, which is also a very fundamental book that Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us to read carefully. You can read text 9 in the verse that we quoted and the purport there, which Srila Prabhupada has explained the purport of this verse very nicely. So let us continue now. The Lord further says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Arjuna, is sure to reach me. Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 verse 8. This is not a very difficult process. However, one must learn it from an experienced person. Tat vijnanartham sa gurum evabhi gacchet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. The mind is always flying to this and that. But one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of His name. The mind is naturally restless, going hither and thither, but it can rest in the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Paramam Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain Him. The ways and means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment, are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the doors of this knowledge are open for everyone. No one is barred out. Unquote. So this verse that is quoted here by Srila Prabhupada is also very important. Cetasa na anya gamina, that the consciousness should not go in any other direction without deviation. Abhyasa yoga yuktena, one who is constantly engaged in the process of remembering Krishna without devotion. He, yati, partha, anuchintayan. Anuchintayan means to constantly meditate, to constantly think of Krishna. So one who does that, yati, paramam purusham divyam, will attain to me, the Supreme Person, O Krishna. So Prabhupada mentions here that it is not a very difficult process provided one learns it under the proper guidance of one who has experienced himself in this path. The nature of the mind, Prabhupada explains, is very flickering. It's very hard to focus the mind on any one thing. Just reflect for a moment on how many times your mind has wandered since this lecture began, how many other topics that flitted through your mind even as the lecture was going on. That's the nature of the mind. Therefore, Arjuna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, Chanchalam hi manaha Krishna, pramathi balavat tridham, tasyaham nigraham manye, vayur iva sudushkaram. He has said that this mind, O Krishna, is chanchalam, is very restless. Pramathi, balavat, is very obstinate. Balavat, very strong. Tridham, very resolute. Tasyaham nigraham manye. To control this mind, O Krishna, I think, Vayur Iva Sudushkaram, it is more difficult than to control the raging wind. One may try to control the natural elements and one may be successful to some degree. But to control the mind is a different thing altogether. But it is possible by constant practice and detachment. Asanshayam Mahabaho Mano Nodurnigraham Chalam Abhyasenatu Kaunteya. He said, first of all, there must be abhyas, there must be practice. If you practice and then simultaneously also learn the basics of renunciation from sense gratification, then although it is very difficult to control the mind, it will still be possible to do so. Asanshayam tu mahabaho. So what you say undoubtedly is true, O Arjuna. But nevertheless it is possible by practice and detachment. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grahyate. By abhyas and vairagya, by practice and detachment. So here also in the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes here from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, abhyas yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. So the word practice, abhyas, indicates that it has to be done repeatedly, regularly. It's not that we give up doing something after some time. We also have the saying, practice makes perfect. If you practice something regularly, you can become perfect. So also with all the devotional practices, we have to keep on doing them regularly. Then perfection can be attained. And then Prabhupada moves on to the topic of how this path of perfection is open to everyone. And he will continue on this theme further, which we will discuss tomorrow. So we will stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. The question is that what if there is a businessman or a student who is doing business or some academic studies, and how does he remember Krishna? Is that the question? In the same way that the answer is in the same way that Arjuna was remembering Krishna. What was Krishna's instruction to Arjuna? What is the verse that Prabhupada quoted earlier? Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Sri Prabhupada explains, one must try to practice remembering Krishna in the midst of our struggle in material existence. So even the businessman, the student or anyone has to try to practice remembering Krishna in the midst of his regular daily activities from time to time. That is the discipline that is required, the mental discipline. Of course, there are activities that sometimes make the person absorbed in that activity. For example, when you're counting money, let's say now when we open our hundi box for the deity department and the devotees sit and count all the notes. So what does your mind have to be absorbed in? If you're going to be thinking of Krishna's form and you're counting the notes, then it's most likely you won't correct right. You won't count it right. So you have to be very careful that you're counting properly. So even in Krishna's service, there may be times when you necessarily have to be so absorbed in that particular service that you may not be able to actually remember Krishna's form. But because you are doing it directly for Krishna, so that absorption of the mind in that activity is also absorption in Krishna. Because that activity is being performed solely for Krishna's pleasure. So also with the businessman, the student, or anyone in any stage of life, if we are performing any activity, if we are living our life exclusively for the pleasure of Krishna, then our absorption in that activity will be our devotional service, provided we think like that, provided that is our motivation to work. So it's a question of our motive, our intention, our state of consciousness. If a businessman is working only for sense gratification, for making money, for becoming a bigger businessman, for prestige and for so on and so forth, then he has to make separate attempts to serve Krishna by giving some donations, the fruits of his labor has to be offered and so on. And time to time he may have mixed remembrance. But if a businessman is utterly surrendered, but he has to continue his business for certain practical reasons, or even for the sake of expanding the preaching, because there are some businessmen who are very prominent, and probably it is better to remain in that position because they can contribute far more to the preaching mission than they could if they were to just render full-time service. Because of the circles they move around in as a result of that profession, at a larger scale they can do greater benefit. So for such a person, if he's living his life for Krishna, then absorption in every activity there is for Krishna. And ultimately such a person will also, of course, part with the fruits of his labor for Krishna's service. So directly as well as indirectly, such a person serves Krishna. And therefore he can remember. Now we should see that when Arjuna was fighting, would he not need to be completely absorbed in the battle? Just imagine a battle situation. How intense it is. Is our struggle for existence more acute than Arjuna's? At least we don't have arrows and bullets shooting all over. And Arjuna was there where he had to make decisions in the nick of time. Every microsecond would make a difference between life and death. They were moving at the speed of the wind. His arrows were being shot at the speed of the mind. So he had to be so completely absorbed, and all the more he had to plan his strategies, where he would go now, which direction, and simultaneously he had to instruct Krishna, move left, move right, go straight, stop, speed up, slow down. So he was completely absorbed in that activity, but it was being done for Krishna. Exclusively for Krishna. Any other questions? Yes. The question is related to the last of the four conditions that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur talks about. Sampatti dasha, when our constitutional position is revealed to us, and how does it relate to the siddha pranali, diksha that is given by some in Braj. If you study these four processes, if you read that purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse in Nectar of Instruction, which I will request all the devotees to do when you go back to your rooms, then you will see that we are talking of a very high stage. It's not something that can be artificially obtained just like that. It's not just by a diksha one can get like that. One has to really work towards it. One has to hear, one has to cultivate and practice this process very assiduously, very, very hard. One has to work at it. Then progressively one moves up through the different stages. And even in the Shravana Dasha, as we mentioned, there are five stages. And ultimately the last stage is the Samadhi, when one actually experiences ecstasy in chanting and hearing. So the first test is before one can even think about what is my constitutional position in Goloka Vrindavan. we should introspect and see how steady is our remembrance of Krishna. If it is not steady, then obviously we have a good distance to go. So we should be patient. So this Siddha Pranali Diksha is not something that Srila Prabhupada encouraged or the devotees to do, rather he discouraged. So he counseled or he guided all the devotees in ISKCON to follow this process that he is outlining here. They are staying in the association of devotees, practicing and serving, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Krishna Katha, and performing practical services, following the regulative principle, leading a pure life, and thus making good advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.